Was this a big thing in the Belichick household growing up? I mean, your father was coaching or scouting or doing something almost all the time. What was Christmas time in the Belichick household as a kid?
We usually went to see my mom's family and relatives in Florida, in West Palm Beach. So that was nice.
So not, yeah, seriously. That sounds fantastic.
No white Christmas.
I need a Belichick family Christmas. That's what I was missing all these years. Big game yesterday. You sounded incredibly happy after the game with the way your team played. How did it all come together?
Well, I just think I'd give all the credit in the world to the players. They did a great job all week of preparing, did a good job of executing in the game. You know, though our situational football play was better, red area, third down. Special teams was outstanding. We got a lot of contribution from a lot of different people. You know, I thought we showed some toughness in running the ball, stopping the run, covering kicks. We tried to play physical. And we played for 60 minutes, you know, even at the end of the game. I mean, I know those plays didn't really matter in the final outcome of the game, but we competed hard. We had opportunities to make plays at the end of the game, and guys stepped up and made them. So, you know, there was no point at any time in the game I felt like where everybody wasn't 100% into it and totally focused on what they had to do, regardless of what the score situation was. And it's really proud of the way the team handled themselves all week and obviously the results yesterday.
You speak frequently about how difficult it is to win games in the NFL any given week. And fans are always paying attention to, oh, that's a 12-0 team against an 0-12 team. It should be an easy win, that kind of thing. And you don't pay attention to that because you know how difficult it is. But do some wins carry with it more value to you? Every win's an accomplishment, but yesterday did sort of feel different as you came out in your post-game news conference. It felt like maybe that you recognized that was an especially good win.
Well, it was different because we won the AFC East, so that was different. You know, look, all wins are good. But, you know, you win three, you win four, you win five games. Well, five wins isn't going to get you anything in the NFL. You got to win more games than that. So this year, when we got to 11, we had something to show for it. And that was, you know, it's a proud moment. That's you work all year to get that, and only one team in this division can be the champion. And fortunately, this year it's us. So, you know, that's a lot to be proud of. But, you know, it's a good football team, and they're a very good football team in their building. They're a good football team, as we know, in our building. So, you know, they're a very challenging team to play on every front. They're well coached. They have good players. They're very sound in all three areas of the game. They've consistently won not only one but one playoff games since Coach Harbaugh's been there. So they're a battle-hardened team. They're a veteran team. They're a tough football team, and they were playing very well. You know, going into the game yesterday, winning four straight, five out of the last six. So it was a big challenge for us to go down there, but, you know, our players responded well and they met it.
I would think one of the interesting things about your job is that you're responsible for so many different types of things. You have X's and O's that you're worried about, watching film. You have your personnel-type responsibilities, and then you have motivating your football team, what you're going to say, how you're going to find ways to motivate them. How much time do you spend thinking about that last thing, how to motivate your team?
Well, I think it depends. I think it depends on the game, the situation, the team, and so forth. But, you know, I just think in general, as a coach, you try to do everything you can to help your team, whatever that is. That's your job, just like it's every player's job to do whatever he can to help his team, whatever form or fashion that's in, whether it's giving a look into practice, whether it's playing in the kicking game, whether it's playing a role situationally on offense or defense. Whatever it happens to be. So, you know, we all have roles, we all have jobs to do, and we just try to do the best we can on them. So, as you said, my job, you know, covers some different areas, but I try to do what I feel like is best in each of those areas that'll help the team. And there's no set formula for that. A lot of times it's by feel, by the way I perceive the team or the situation that we're in that particular week or at that point in time. Could be the first week of training camp, or it could be 15th week of the regular season. There's no book on it. You just kind of get a sense, and sometimes, you know, I get good feedback from our assistant coaches, other people on the staff, our strength coaches, our trainers, and the captains. You know, I meet with captains on a regular basis, and we talk about those things weekly. Of, you know, kind of, is would this be a good idea? Should we do this? Should we do that? And things like that. Sometimes they bring up suggestions, you know, you haven't done this in a while, or, you know, I think the team like to hear that, or, you know, I think this would be good for the team to think about or to hear, whatever. And so It could come from a lot of different areas.
So the idea to go to the movies on Friday, is that more about the specific movie, a chance to go see it, a message that that movie might present for the team, or is it an opportunity to change? I know you said to change routine, but also to get guys out to show some confidence in them. Was there a little bit of all of that?
I don't think watching the movie had really much to do with the outcome of the game. I think it's, you know, you have a team, you do some things together over the course of the year, and I think it was, like I said, it was a break in the routine, just gave everybody a chance to sit back, relax a little bit. It was a good movie, but I don't think that's what it's about. I mean, if that's all there was to it, we just go to the movies and not bother to do everything else. No, I mean, I think our performance yesterday was a result of the players and their preparation and their performance under pressure on Sunday. I don't think it had anything to do with, you know, going to the movies or not going to the movies. But, you know, I think those things are good, you know, for your team to do from time to time. And so, you know, guys get together on their own, guys get together in groups and, you know, go out to dinner or go over to somebody's house or do whatever. But, you know, every once in a while you get together as a team and do something. I think there's something to be said for that. That's all. It's not a big deal.
You a popcorn guy?
You bet.
Throw some of that
it's coming in now. It's coming in now at Christmas, too. We got caramel, we got cheese, we got buttered, we got jalapeno flavored. We'll start packing on the pounds.
Tough time of year to learn.
It sure is.
Throughout the course of this season, we've seen the Patriots find ways to win close games. We've seen you win with defense, win with offense, win on the road in a dominating fashion. All things that I think you need to be able to do to win in the playoffs. Have you learned everything you need to know about this team to feel extremely confident about how far they can go?
I don't know. I don't really even think about that. Right now we're just thinking about Buffalo, and that's the game that's at hand. So I'm not I don't really think or care about the playoffs or this doesn't even come into my mind right now. I'm just thinking about what we need to do to beat Buffalo, and that's really about all I can handle. So what comes after that, and we'll, you know, take that when it gets there, but we're definitely not there yet. And so it's really just, you know, to me, a lot of hot air. It doesn't really mean anything.
I'm just kind of wondering if after the fact, like after you win a Super Bowl in 01, 3, 4, something like that, maybe you look back and you see something in the course of that season that might have been a seminal moment that kind of clicked and said, well, maybe that was the moment where I learned that this team could go all the way. Would you be able to know if you've passed that moment now, or would you have to wait till the end of the season?
Well, I don't think there's any question that there are those moments in the season. There's no question about that. But, you know, sometimes there are more to come. You just don't know which ones you've hit or which ones you haven't. You know, maybe you've had some milestones along the way, or you've had some important moments. They're not necessarily all good. They could be bad, and they could be good learning moments. But there could also be ones in front of you. Certainly, you know, in the 2001 season, you know, for the moments that we had during the regular season, I mean, we had some great wins and some great, you know, the Troy Brown punt return against Cleveland, the Miami game, but then the snow game. I mean, that took it to a whole nother level that I think at the end of the regular season, you say, well, you know, how do you feel about your team? Well, what happened in that game was, you know, something that hadn't happened all year, and the conditions and, you know, the whole situation. So, you know, I think it's something you look back on at the end of the year. I don't think you try to define it now.
I'm a little curious about the development of young players. You get a pretty – there are a lot of young players on this football team, especially on the defense, and we saw quite a few of them make big plays late in the game yesterday. I think we make the media make a big deal about the draft and where was this guy drafted and what's a hit percentage on guys you've drafted. But how much do you weigh in the development process for a young player, taking them from step A to point B, where he's actually able to contribute on the field?
Well, it's huge. I mean, that's really what this league is. There's so few players, and I mean, it's got to be way less than 1% who are really ready to come in and play in the National Football League as rookies. And they might come in and contribute. I'm not saying that. But when they look back and when you look back 2-3 years later, you see a marked difference in where they were as rookies and where they end up. And so, you know, our job as coaches and the players' job is to try to, you know, gain ground on that as quickly as possible, starting in, you know, the OTAs in the spring and conditioning and training camp and certainly week to week in the regular season, preseason games, is to try to get that to as high a level as you can as quickly as possible. And I think the development of players is critical to the success of any football team, especially in this league. It's such a long season that you have a lot of practice opportunities, you have a lot of meeting opportunities, you have the four preseason games. I mean, there's a lot of opportunities to improve and get better, not only individually, but as collectively as a team, as a, you know, as a secondary, as an offensive line, as a punt unit, as a whatever it happens to be. And if you can do that relative to your competition, relative to what the other teams are doing, then you know, you got a chance.
I had this question mostly relating to player evaluation and the draft as well as free agents, but I also think in terms of even game planning. Do you ever allow for the notion of luck to enter into your thought process? Let's take this guy. He might have a long way, but maybe we'll get lucky. Let's try this on Sunday. You know, we haven't had a lot of success with it before, but maybe we'll get lucky. Does that thought ever enter into your head, or is it clearly just data and facts and evidence?
Yeah, well, Bob, I think it's kind of, to me, it's kind of two different questions. I think on the personnel end of it, you know, sure, there's some point where you'll take a player. The question is, what price are you willing to pay for him, whether that's draft choice or trade compensation or whatever it happens to be. So if you feel that the price is worth the risk, then yeah, sure, well, you do that. So, you know, taking a guy in the sixth round and taking him in the second is two different things. And so I think that's definitely part of it. You know, from a game plan standpoint, I think that you as a coach, you definitely want to feel like you're giving your players the best chance to win. There's no worse feeling than coming in on Monday and looking at a play and saying, oh my God, we had no chance on this play. What we were in, what they were in, or what we told the player to do, and then he did what we told him to do, but the way it worked out, that the play had no chance to be successful. I mean, that's a terrible feeling to have. So you never want to put your team in that situation knowingly, and you do the best you can to keep them from being in that situation anyway. I mean, inevitably it happens, but then you learn from that and say, well, you know, we're not going to let that happen again. So I think you want to be careful about, I would want to be careful about putting a team at risk in a situation that I wasn't totally confident in, you know, and just say, well, we'll take a shot at this and hope it works, unless you're willing to take that chance. Now, you know, a two-point play, you're going to run a play that you've never run before, they've never seen it before, you feel like that, you know, might have a chance to work because it's new, and, you know, if you make it, you make it. If you don't, you don't. But that's kind of what the two-point play is anyway. You know, that's one thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's another thing to, you know, take a chance in other situations on, and not saying a two-point play is not important, but I think that's a philosophy that, you know, many teams use, that in a two-point play they're going to run something that you've never practiced against defensively because we've never shown it. So, okay, then – you know, maybe that'll work. And if it doesn't, then it doesn't. But it's not like, you know, running some crazy blitz that you give them an 80-yard touchdown, or run some crazy play and you turn the ball over and give them a touchdown. I mean, there's, you know, I think there's a balance there.
I think I'm going to take that with me to the golf course and everything, because there's so many times where I'm playing and I think, well, if I just send it off to the right side by a foot and a half, maybe I'll get lucky. And that thought is always in my head while I'm playing golf or anything. And you're suggesting that the idea of just allowing it to play out through the fates is not an appropriate approach. I better read that putt a little more.
Well, you know, on the golf course, my approach usually is, you know, let's try not to get an eight. So,
right.
You know,
maybe I'll get lucky.
Instead of going for the pin over the trap, well, let's just try to get it on the green. And then if I miss it, at least I'm not in, right, you know, double and triple bogey range. And, you know, then maybe a good chip and a putt and I could still save a par, you know. So that's
I hit that eight, you know, and I say, I'm glad I didn't get a 10.
Yeah, I mean, on the golf course, I don't know. I maybe play it a little bit differently just because of the skills are a little limited.
The development aspect of that brings me to a question about Julian Edelman. I mean, he's a quarterback in college. What do you see at the beginning from Julian Edelman? How do you judge him and say, this is a guy that's going to fit in my offense as a receiver? How do you make that transition in your mind?
Well, the first thing with Julian was to work him out, and we worked him out. I think it was three different times prior to the draft. You know, both as a receiver and as a punt returner. Of course, we wanted to get an evaluation of him in the kicking game. Coach O'Brien went up there and had him catch some balls and all that. I mean, you could definitely see Julian's athletic ability and his toughness in running the option and being a runner that a guy was hard to tackle against good competition like Ohio State and teams like that that they. They played on their schedule, but projecting him into a new position is that's another matter. And I think anytime you think about developing a player, you have to number one, see some ability. Number two, you have to have a player who's works hard, and number three, a player who will take coaching. So if a guy has talent and he'll work at it and he can take the information that he's being given and understands it and processes it, versus a guy who's hard-headed and kind of, well, I'm just going to do it my way, and okay, well, then he never gets any better, or a guy who listens to what you say but doesn't work hard enough, so he never improves, well, then you never get any better. But I think if you put those three elements in place, talent, work ethic, and the ability to comprehend and improve, well, then the player should get better. And that's, I think Julian certainly had those elements. He worked very hard. He came and caught 38 passes his rookie year. And probably played as well as just about any player we had on the field his rookie year in the Baltimore playoff game. I mean, which obviously wasn't a great game, but, he played very competitively. So, and he's worked very hard since then on both the return game, offensively as a blocker, as a receiver, and he's also contributed in other aspects of the game, too. We had him on kickoff coverage and, obviously he's not doing that now, but, it's something that he'd done in his career, and he always works to get better. He always works to try to do his job in whatever role it is you ask him to do, and that's, I think, led to the improvement that he's made over the course of his career.
I saw him out there for the hands team yesterday, and he ended up right in the middle of the whole kick return. I didn't see whether he threw a block or not. I didn't see him in the middle of the wedge.
Yeah, they touchbacked us, so.
Yeah. That's probably for the best for everybody. All right, time for the coach's question of the week. It's brought to you by your local Mercedes-Benz dealers. The all-new Mercedes-Benz CLA has arrived. See them on the web at mbusa.com. Joey in Cranston, Rhode Island, is asking you just very simply for a review of the movie you guys saw on Friday, Lone Survivor. Maybe Bill Belichick's movie review.
Review of the movie. Great. I think they did a great job of capturing the not only the kind of technical and fighting aspect of it, but also the very personal side of it, the commitment of the entire unit to help each other, to fight for each other, to sacrifice for each other. There was certainly an element of toughness, of teamwork, and leadership, not just for the guys that were on the mountain fighting, but also that the support behind them and the training that went into it and, kind of how it all came together. So it was, obviously a true story and one that was, I think, portrayed in a very... I would say emotional way and, one that you could, as an American, you could really be proud of the people that are out there defending us and fighting for our freedom.
You cry at movies? Have you cried in a movie recently?
It was a pretty emotional movie.
It really
was, yeah. I mean, the first time I saw it was after the Cleveland game, and I was pretty well drained after that game. I had, no emotion left. And then at the end of that movie, I was completely wiped out. So that was... That was a doubleheader for me.
It is something to be exhausted at the end of a movie. That happened to me at Million Dollar Baby for whatever reason and stuff like that. But I walked out of there just completely drained emotionally. It's like an intense feeling.
Kids, you're almost that tired.
Yeah, it's true. I saw it at midnight too. But you're right. When movies can reach you like that and exhaust you, that was a pretty good movie.
Well, and really kind of the special part of that one a couple weeks ago when Mark Wahlberg was kind of hosting a premiere there was. Actually then go and meet Marco Citrell after the movie.
Wow.
And I think,
oh, wow.
Jesus, this is the guy that just, went through this.
Yeah.
And, oh, my God. There's a real hero.
He was a little impressed meeting you, too, I bet.
I think it was more the other way around.
I bet, yeah.
Hey, real quick, I know you started the Bill Belichick Foundation. I just saw the article on it this week. So can you just give us a little bit about it and what people can do if it's something that interests them in the holiday season?
Sure. You know, just go to it on the website, but it's really, you know, just a way for, you know, for me to give back to, you know, in particular football and lacrosse, two sports that have been very good to me and, you know, to organizations or, individuals that, you know, meet the criteria. But, you know, I've been very fortunate and, you know, I've done things for many other people's organizations and foundations and, you know, they've always said to me, you know, is there anything I can do for you or let me know if I can help out your foundation or whatever. And just felt like this is probably a time to, you know, formally do something and to try to, you know, have other people who I've helped help me and, you know, just to kind of, you know, continue to feed off each other and support student athletes and coaches in those two sports that have been so important in my life.
Well, we certainly appreciate it, Coach. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you next Monday. Have a great Christmas.
All right, sounds good. You too. Same to all the listeners. Happy holidays.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, there you go. There is our weekly interview with Bill Belichick. Be right back with Bob Halloran at Salk and Holly on WEEI.